Good evening. I wanted to make one follow-up point, which maybe was a little unclear in the shiur last week. It really came about from the questions afterwards where we tried to clarify. I think you're allowed to express your opinion, your taste in something, as long as you don't objectify it as a negative thing. Like we were talking about a speaker. So if someone asks you, how is your speech? So maybe people shouldn't ask that question. That's first of all. But someone asks you, so do you have to say it was the best speech I've ever heard in my life? So no. Can you say it wasn't worth 20 minutes that I came? You wanted to hear. That's also, because then you're objectifying it as a negative, this guy is a good for nothing or worthless speaker. But I think you could say, it wasn't my taste. It wasn't my, I know my kids, when they say that the food, not that this ever happens, but the food, chicken is not good. It's not, you don't like it, or it's not your taste. So I think you ought to say the chazan, people liked it, it wasn't my style, it wasn't my cup of tea. I don't think that's lashon hara. You're saying that you didn't like something. Not everyone has to like every single thing that they encounter in life. I think that was an important clarification. Also afterwards, I was telling people about the lawsuit, which I had remembered, where there was clergy, congregant confidentiality. So I did a little bit of research, meaning I Googled it. Good old-fashioned research. It actually comes up in today's Chafetz Chaim, this issue. I had an article from the New York Times in 1998, and then an article 2 years later with the appeals and the verdict. We'll get to that in a little bit, which I think is interesting. Today's a lot of inside reading. It starts off a little straightforward, and then it gets a little bit more complicated, and I think common. The beginning of Kalal Dalet on page 1, and I think this packet will last a couple weeks. Oh, before I forget, next week I'm not here. I have an event in school on Wednesday night, which I can't miss. We'll send it out in the email. It's in the newsletter, but I will not be here next Wednesday night. Usur l'saper al chavero, afilo shlo b'fanav, v'hu emes, Davar sheyisbaze al yedeze. Very straightforward. A person can't speak about a friend, even if it's not in front of him, even though it's true. Anything which he'll be embarrassed by. It's not necessarily something that will cause him a loss of money. Anything that he'll feel bad about. V'lo mebaya bedvarim shel gnai ba'alma. It's not just things that are make him look bad. Kigonim, we saw this a couple of weeks ago. Liskar alav maisa avosav ukrovav. You can't remind a person or talk about a person's past, his parents, his relatives. Liskar alav maisa avarishonim, or remind or mention what he did when he was younger. Bein shahayu dvarim shben adam l'makom. Oh, dvarim shben adam l'chaveru. It doesn't matter if these were sins between man and man, sins between man and God. Now he's fine. He's not involved in that sin anymore. To talk about what he did 6 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, is a problem. It's interesting because just today in school, we were talking with an elementary school teacher about an applicant to the high school. And now I'm so much more sensitive to this. He said, to be honest with you, last year he was a disaster, and this year he's a different kid. So now he's doing good. Why do you have to tell me? Now, I think he had to, because I would have looked at the report cards, and his report cards in the seventh grade were terrible. But this is where it gets somewhat complicated. What's Latoelis, what's not? We'll get to that in a little bit. If you skip to Klal Beis, we're going to do this outside. Chafetz Chaim says it's not just if he violates Nisr Daraisa, Nisr Darabanan, if there's a Chumrah that everyone does and he doesn't, if it's a Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, anything that a person would be embarrassed about, anything that would bring a person, make a person feel bad, so we can't speak negatively about them. If you look at the bottom, three lines from the bottom of that 5 lines from the bottom of the page, the first word in the line, that feel a saper love ba'anfei ha-mitzvos. Even if it's to talk about the branches, the offshoots of mitzvos, kigon shu atzron b'mamon v'inu mechabit Shabbos karoi. He's not doing an avera. You're just mentioning that this person is very cheap, but he doesn't properly mechabit the Shabbos. So even that is a problem. And we're not allowed, that's the aleph. We're not allowed to mention something negative that someone does, whether it's ben adam l'chavero or ben adam l'makom. Now, where it gets somewhat complicated, and this happens all the time, is what happens when a person sins. What happens if a person is not religious? Let's say a person is continuously sinning. So can we talk about that? So-and-so, yeah, you know, so-and-so is not Shomer Shabbos anymore. I saw so-and-so, he wasn't wearing the yarmulke. I saw so-and-so, and she was doing this. Are we allowed to say that about someone? Are there any situations, parameters, where that would be okay? So says the Chafetz Chaim as follows. We'll read a little bit inside, if that's okay. On page 2, Klal Os Gimel. In the beginning, Ach yischalik zadim lepratim achadim kmo shavar. It breaks down into the specifics as follows. The imhu ish benoni kistam ish Yisrael. If he's a regular person, he's not a Russia. He's a regular Jew, like most Jews. Shedarko lehishamer michit v'nichshal bechit rak lepa'amim. Most of us, speaking for myself, we most of the time we are free from sin. We're careful, but at times we stumble. The yesh litlos she'asar davar zeh shalom miskavin. You can assume that a person didn't have a kavana when he did the avera. Oh, shelo haya yodeya she'davar zeh asar. Maybe the person didn't know that it was asar. Oh, shaya savar shel chumra umidat tova ba'alma. Perhaps the person who was involved in that sin thought this was just a chumra. It's better. It's preferred. Shak sherim nizharim bazeh. Only the real kosher people are careful with this. So says the Chafetz Chaim, if it's a person like that, which, let's be honest, that's most of us, or all of us in this room, azai, afilu ra'u kama pa'amim shavar alzeh, even if we see that person violating a specific sin many times, bevada yesh litlos bazeh, we should assume that it was one of those three situations. He didn't have proper kavana. He or she thought it was a chumrah, or he or she didn't even realize it was usher. And therefore, v'asurim legaloso, we're not allowed to reveal that. We're not allowed to speak about that to anyone. K'dei shelo yihye levuz be'enei amo, v'afilo be'enei atzmol gamkin leizbaza, v'asur l'snoso oso avrzeh, t'tzarech ledono l'chaf zuchus. Such a situation, such a person, you see them doing an avera, so you have to be dam chav sechus and assume that they didn't know, assume they didn't have proper kavana, it was shogeg, assume that they didn't realize the severity of the iser, and therefore you can't go ahead and relay that information to someone else. I think that's fairly... Mean the people who think it's usher, right? Right. Now, like the examples most people give is, you know, guys on the plane, and you see him, and they bring him his dinner. He doesn't make a bracha. Everyone's davening. Doesn't daven. I actually had a friend who was a good friend of mine was on a flight to Israel to bury their father, Rav Aaron Felder, who was a rabbi in Philadelphia, who passed away, had a heart attack a couple years ago. His son's a close friend of mine, and he was on the plane, and someone made a comment to him. You'll help the Davin. He was an Onan. An Onan is Pater Mitzvos. Everyone tells a story, and actually, the person was giving him a hard time. Like, were you just not going to Davin? So finally, it's like, well, actually, I'm, you know, my father's on the plane with your luggage. So you're saying more. Often, we look at what a person's doing, and we think what he's doing is Navera, and because we don't know better, it's not even a Navera. Right? So we have to always be, if it's a regular person, you have to be. A tola, assume that what they're doing is not rolling out. We'll see how far do you have to take this. If you're in Israel and you see hundreds of cars driving by on Shabbos, you have to say Mazel Tov. Oh, they're having a baby. They're having a baby. They're having a baby. They're having a baby. They're having. I don't know. We'll have to see. But for a Beinoni, if you see a person who's in this shul driving on Shabbos, we could assume they know this or they're not solid. They're driving a child to the hospital to then go ahead and say, "Oh my gosh, can you believe that I saw someone so driving on Shabbos?" I don't know. Good. But then it's not always the case. In Ostal, he says, "Aval im yira elahem shachote yadas etzem misuro." You know that the chote knows the avera. V'gam b'miskaven asa asachet. You know he did the avera b'kavana. You know. Kibias arayos v'achilas dvarim asurim v'kayotze b'zeh. Treif. Everyone knows real treif. You see him eating pig. Mamish. You see him eating a ham sandwich. Shinis pashet yidias isurim v'yisrael. Everyone. I mean, that's not true. Everyone here in the shul knows that a ham sandwich is forbidden. Ubazeh lo ra'u shenichshal rak pam achas b'seser. You only saw the individual violate the avera once. But it was an avera that you know he did b'kavana, and you know he knew the iser. But you only saw it once. Says the Chafetz Chaim, asurin legaloso eschetel achir. You can't relay that information to anyone. You're not allowed to tell anyone. And if a person does, says the Chafetz Chaim, it's very scary. Says the Chafetz Chaim, can you tell Dayane Ha'ir? Now, we don't really have Dayane Ha'ir, but let's make it practical. Can you tell Rabbi Lubin? Can you, if it's a younger person, can you tell his parents? You see a teenager, you see anyone engaged in behavior that they shouldn't be engaged. Let's leave out behaviors that are dangerous to them. You saw them stalling 90 miles an hour on the highway. You see them smoking. You see them riding a bicycle without a helmet. I actually happened. I saw a kid in the shul. It was my second day that I was in town, and he almost died because he was riding without a helmet and he was actually texting while he was bike riding. And it was my second day in the shul, and I had to tell his father. I think that's a different story. Here we're talking about you see a person doing averus, doing serious averus. And perhaps Rabbi Lubin or the person's mother or the person's best friend can talk to them in a way where they'll help them. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, if you skipped 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the seventh line in the second paragraph, it's right after the parentheses of the Tes Zion. He says, in such a case, afilu l'dayani ha'ir ein legalos. You can't even tell the dayani ha'ir. Af sheyesh ito eid sheni l'hakim davar. Even though there's a second witness who also saw this. Why is that? Why is he saying even if there's a second witness? Because let's say there's only one witness, it's only you, then you can't say anyways because no one can believe you. Because al pi shnei edim yakum davar. You always need to have two witnesses. So that's the Chafetz Chaim writes in the parentheses. D'ilo, if there aren't two people, b'lav hachi asur l'galus. You can't tell anyone. Ki asurin hadayanim l'hamin l'dvarav. V'yachziko so rak l'bal ashon rath. You go tell Rabbi Lubin, I saw so-and-so eating pig. I saw so-and-so in an inappropriate relationship. Rabbi Lubin can't believe you if you're one person. A dayan is not a belief. One aid. So even if there are two people, if you see a person doing that there at one time, says the Chafetz Chaim, you can't tell anyone. Rak tzarech lo chiyach oso beino le bein atzmo al asher himra es elokav b'cheto. You need to warn him, give him a rebuke quietly in the fact that he went against God, that he sinned. V'sheyira ligdoros atzmo v'kanveilech me'asibos. And he needs to be careful and watch out from those things that were bringing him down. Kideshul yavo od lidechet, so it doesn't happen again. Now, this is all true, says the Chafetz Chaim, unless you want to prevent him or her from sinning again. To just stam tell someone, to tell Dayan Yair, that's one thing. But if by you telling someone it's going to prevent an Isser or more Isurim, so then the Chafetz Chaim says it's different. And this will get into the fascinating case which I mentioned last week. If you turn to page 3, the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Star, this is his commentary, he says, Kol Zeh, it's the page 3, Shekasavnu Be'ilo HaSeifim, Hu B'She'ein HaDavar HaZeh Mo'er LaFrushem Yisura. This is only true if it's not going to help anyone separate from sin. Avalim Hu Mo'er LaFrushem Yisura, if it's going to prevent someone from sinning, and look at his example, it's a wild example, it's actually a real tshuva. Kigon, Shara Le'ishes Ish Shezinsa. You saw a married woman have an affair. Now, if a married woman has an affair, she can't be with her husband anymore. Dimin hadin, nasra avar zeh labaal. She's forbidden to be with her husband. Afilu ra davar zeh biyachidi. Even if you saw this, or you know about it by yourself, you're only one aid, sarach legalos lehabal kedei lehafrisho me'isr. You need to tell the husband, because if the husband's with his wife again, it's going to be... Every time they're together, there's an Isser. So to save the husband from the Isser, you have to tell the husband. There's a tshuva, the Nod Bihuda. I put in the packet, you can take a look at it later. It's almost unbelievable that the Nod Bihuda was dealing with this, I believe in the late 1700s, I believe. What was the Shaila asked to Nod Bihuda? You had a Bachar Nishiva, who is married. He marries the Rosh Hashiva's daughter. They're married, and he writes a letter to Nod Yehuda, or the rabbi of his city writes a letter to Nod Yehuda, that this young married man is saddled with guilt, charata, regret, he wants to do tshuva. He was having an affair with the Rosh Hashiva's wife, who's his mother-in-law. This is the Nod Yehuda in Prague in the late 1700s. And he asks two questions. Number one, do I have to tell my father-in-law? If I tell my father-in-law and they have to get the divorce, it's going to be embarrassing. And maybe we could apply Kavod HaBrios to respect the dignity of the family and their children. Sometimes we can even violate a prohibition to preserve human dignity. So maybe don't tell him, even though every time he's with his wife, he'll be violating a prohibition, but maybe for kavod habrios. That was question number one. Question number two is, how do I do tshuva? So that's the end of the tshuva, which is fascinating. Maybe before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, he has a whole tshuva prescription. But that was the shaila asked to Nod Yehuda. The Nod Yehuda paskins that yes, you do have to tell you can't apply Kavod HaBrios in this case. Kavod HaBrios only applies if it's you're not proactively violating a prohibition, but here your father-in-law will be proactively violating the prohibition, so you must tell. Let's say he's not going to believe you. Somewhat complicated. That's the case in Nod Yehuda. So it says the Chafetz Chaim that if a person saw an individual, saw a married woman having an affair, and he says only if you saw it yourself, so in that case, even though you're one witness, and even though maybe it was a one-time avera, because it's lahafrish mi iser, it's to save the husband from violating averos, so says the Chafetz Chaim, in that situation, you'd be obligated to tell the husband. But says the Chafetz Chaim, can you tell the husband who she had an affair with? That he says no. Because that he doesn't need to know. If he's not going to believe you, unless you tell him who, so then yes, you could tell him. Because again, that's being done lahafrish me'isser, to prevent him from sin. In the Dirshu, he brings up this case, which is if a woman tells a rabbi that she was having an affair, does the rabbi have to tell the husband? So he brings down over here, if the rabbi has reason to believe and could believe, just because she says it doesn't mean it's true. But if the rabbi has reason to believe that it's true, so he'd be obligated to tell the husband. This led me to that case in 1998 where a woman came. It was to Rabbi Flam, who was a rabbi in Hillcrest, and to Rabbi Weinberger, who was a rabbi in Lawrence, and said that to get back at her husband, she would stop going to the mikvah. The rabbi told the husband, because it's lahafrish me'isser, and she sued, originally won, and I think the appeals court appealed the conviction or the lawsuit, that it wasn't bound to the rabbi clergy rules. There is rabbi congregant or any clergy congregant confidentiality, and it becomes, I found an article by Rabbi Reese, who's now in Chicago, the former president or dean of Reese and YU, and others, what happens when the legal law would conflict with halacha like it would in this case. Maybe your responsibility to save someone from Isser doesn't override, or doesn't, you don't have to lose your job because of that. Maybe you don't have to lose so much money if there's going to be, the loss was millions of dollars. So that's where it gets somewhat complicated. But at the end of the day, what the Chafetz Chaim is saying is that if you know that a person's doing an Avera, to just tell someone, again, next week we'll get to if a person is totally off the derech and is sinning constantly. But you saw a person do Avera one time, you can't tell anyone. If it's lahafrish minister, then you're allowed. But if it's not lahafrish minister, there's no purpose in telling someone. Later on, though, the Chafetz Chaim does say that if you have a Rebbe, or he has a Rebbe, it's Macholkes, or he has a very close friend who will believe your words as if you were two witnesses, and we have to think through if we have people like that in our life who believe us so much that when we tell them something, we can believe their words as if it was corroborated by someone else. So then you could tell that person if you think they'll be able to have an impact. And that's the heter of Toelas. But a person has to be careful because very often our intentions aren't completely pure. We want to tell someone because it's good to know information and we feel like we have power. There's a certain, I can't explain it, there's a certain kishmak. And knowing it, not everyone has this. A lot of people feel that. I feel that. When you have a good, juicy, even if it's not Lashon Hara, a good, juicy piece of information, you're in the teacher's room, you're at work, you're in shul, and you have a good piece of information, it feels good. It has to be the right intentions. If you really believe that you have the ability to help a person and you really care about them, so then to tell an individual who could help them, so then that's going to be mutter, because your goal is to help an individual, but you have to be careful that the intentions are really pure. Okay.